Thank you so much. And before we start with our sermons, I want to say that I was not here when King Josiah was here, and King Josiah is right there in the back. Jesse Taylor was here last week, and I had the pleasure to see it, and how nice it is to see King Josiah in the back. That is a son that was born to the Ingracia family. And we are so happy for that. And it's going to be good looking like his mother. For those who are here and maybe you're not so practical in the pages of the Bible, we put an outline of the bulletin inside the bulletin and the insert with the sermon. And between parentheses, you find a number. That number, beside the reference, is the page number in the Bible that is in the pew. If you don't have one bulletin or one Bible, you raise your hand. We'll reach it to you right away. We want you to see it, okay? One bulletin here, Brother Greg, and if you can have one of our pew Bibles also for here, and we will be happy. The reason is I want you to see it. There is no better thing than you to see it, all right? Will produce in you an awe as you read it. Some people get upset at their work, and you know what they do? They change works thinking that now I will be well. But you know something? Maybe they get in something worse. Some people have problems with the location where they live. And they think that all the problems in their life is due to the location. And so they talk to me, and they, family after family, I have talked, and they say, well, Pastor, we moved to the mountains. And they go beyond Sacramento, Grass Valley, along just there, and they find out later on that it's still the same problem. Same problem. Some people have problems in the nation where they live. And perhaps they see much evil in the government, and it's true. And so they move to another country thinking the life is different. In my vacation, I always love to talk to the people in Mexico who are workers. Those who have speak a little bit English, they have been here. And I ask them, how was your experience in America? You know, it's worse than here. So we came back. This is why what I call change without improvement. Change without improvement. In the last 6 months, those who watch television, you have seen the sign change. And I want to aware you, there could be change, there could be change without improvement. What we supposed to do? Well, two things to begin with. If you have your Bible, move your Bible to Romans 4:2, page 1226. Romans chapter 4. In verse 2 and 3, what are we supposed to do when those questions come into our mind? The Bible says in Romans 4:2, for if Abraham was justified by works, and this is Paul presenting a question, he has something to boast about it, but not before God. And then Paul plays the answer in verse 3. He says, for what says the scripture? In other words, when you had a problem, go to the Bible. What says the scripture? Why? You're in Romans? Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the next book, chapter 10. And here you're going to have the reason why we have a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, all these things happen to them is the Jewish people, as examples, and they were written for our, the word is, in my Bible is admonition, but the word should be instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. So we have a Bible, and in this Bible we have instructions, so that when something happened, you can compare what happened with what the Bible says in history, and then you get the lesson from God. Not from history, not from anybody, from God. That's what we have, 39 books in the Old Testament. They are the historical revelation of God's working in Israel. And those people were like you and me, up and down, up and down. And so I'm going to look for change without improvement in Israel. And I found it. You need to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 15. And I'm going to show you, because I'm limited to 33 minutes on broadcast, I'm going to show you at least four changes in the time allowed me. I preached this sermon in 73, 2 hours and 45 minutes. I preached it in New York. And television channel 9 was, channel 8 was recording this. I have my records, and I just enjoy it. I went through the whole history of Israel to show you change without improvements. But now, don't worry, you're going to have lunch. It's going to be brief. Change without improvement. Change number 1, 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 25. Nadab took the job of his father as king. In verse 25. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. Now, for those who are not familiar to world calendar, the calendar that we have is a Roman calendar, is a Roman Catholic calendar, was placed in our hands and changed in the year 1128 by Gregorio, the Pope, who was a genius in mathematics. The calendar of the Bible is different. It takes the life of a king zero and leave from there. And then, because at this period of time we have two Israels, we have Judah and Israel, then the Bible will refer to the age of the king of Judah and to the age of the king of Israel. And so they had two calendars running over there. And that's why they said Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. So the Bible looks into the neighbor, Judah, right on the south. And Judah, the king, was there for 2 years. So at the second year of this king, Nadab becomes there. Now his father Jeroboam, was terrible, really terrible. Go with me to chapter 12 of 1 Kings, chapter 12, and look with me, verse 26 to 29. 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 26 to 29. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. And if these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of these people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, now look at what he did, verse 28. The king asked advice, made 2 calls of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel. Now this is the government speaking, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put on Dan. And so what, this is Jeroboam, his father was terrible. The change from the father to the son brought some improvements. Well, let's look in 1 Kings 15. And now, let's look in verse 26, and look what happened. This is talking about now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of who? In the way of his father and in his sin by which he had made Israel to sin. The change of command in the White House of Israel brought improvement? No, sir. What was the failure? Well, let me give you some scripture so that you will know. Remember what he did. He built a calf of gold, not because it was commanded by God, but because he feared that the people will return to God. And so he lied to the people, and he built this, and he said to the people, I don't want you to walk to Jerusalem, it's too long, please. That was not in his heart, that was the advice of his counselors. And so he built this in replacement of God. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy, okay, the fifth book of the Bible. And let's go to chapter 6 and verse 4, page 223. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, page 223. And look at what the Bible says. Now here is Moses. He's saying goodbye to Israel. And they are watching the Jordan River. And he is seeing the plain of Jericho. And he's saying goodbye today. He already had the news that he's going to die. And look at what he says to Israel. Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jehovah our Elohim, Jehovah Aim, in Hebrew. It's only one. All right? Now let's go to Isaiah 43 and verse 10, page 799. Isaiah 43 and verse 10, page 799. And look at what Isaiah said. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. You are my witness, said the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. And understand that I am he. I am is the word Jehovah. What Jesus said, remember, in John 8:58, I am. Before me, there was no God form. Nor shall there be after me. Before me, there was no God. After me, there is no God. Period. All right? Now, what the New Testament will say? Well, go with me to 1 Timothy 2:5, page 1292. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, page 1292. I'm giving you an idea how God presented himself. All right? 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one Theos, the Greek God, and one mediator between God and, the Bible said, men should be mankind, anthropos, and mankind. And what is it? There is no the man Jesus Christ. I was talking to a priest and he said, well, I read this scripture. And I said, see, we have no other mediator than Christ Jesus. He said, well, no, you know, people are so far away from God in America. They love so much money that they need an image to get closer to God. Look at 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and there is one mediator between God and mankind. Who is it? God engineered that word. Man. Ner. A schner. The man, Jesus Christ. That's the image. And if you want to have the image, you go to the New Testament and you read about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Plenty of image of the Lord Jesus. We need no other. So now, what's the problem, going back to 1 Kings 15, what's the failure of this King Nadab? Well, the Bible said there is one God. The Bible said there is no God before me or after me. The New Testament said there is one God. The failure was idolatry. It's not that he wants a convenient way to the people. He don't want the people to know God, because when you know God, you become free. You're free. First change. Second change. Baasha took over. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 27 and 28. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 27 and 28. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha killed him at a Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistine, while Nadab and all Israel laid siege in Gibbethon. Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. Baasha took over. Now, we got Jeroboam was bad, and Nadab came in. Now, we need a change. All right, Baasha came in. Did the Baasha brought any change? Look with me, verse 33, same chapter 15 of 1 Kings, verse 33 and verse 34. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over Israel in Tirzah and reigned 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of Jeroboam and in his sin by which he had made Israel to sin. What was his failure again? Idolatry. See, the government wants no competition. That's what happened. If you have a God greater than the president, then the president is uncomfortable. And here is what it is. Idolatry. He was a different man with a different project, but with the same insight. He cared less about the truth of God. Another change. Change number three. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Elah reigns in Israel from the plain of Tirzah. Chapter 16, please. Verse 7 and verse 8. Look at what the Bible said. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house because of the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hand and being like the house of Jeroboam and because he killed them. My brother and my sister, when we disobey God and when we have other gods before us than our God, then God get an anger. Verse 8. In the 26 years of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. And so we have another change. Now, with a new man, people thought that things will improve. The change brought improvement. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 9. Now, his servant Zimri, commander of his chariots, and conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of the house of Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27 years of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. What was his problem? Drinking himself to pass out. His problem was personal standards. You say, wait a minute, but can a king drink? No, according to the Bible. Go with me to Proverbs, chapter 31. Look at the counsel of a mother, Lemuel mother. Chapter 31. And look at what she said to her son, King Lemuel. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. I'm reading Proverbs 31:4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. Not for princes intoxicating drink. In other words, you have to be a little smart. If you're going to make a decision, and if you're going to have a true decision, be a little smart and have a clear mind. But the man being in a position, He was a drunkard. And when a man is drunk, he doesn't know what he's doing. And so therefore, it was no fitting to it. So change and change and change. One more change. Number four. Zimri took over. 1 Kings 16, verse 10. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. All right, now, with a new man in power, what is the news? Verse 16. Now, the people who were in camp heard it said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel, that day in the camp. Verse 17. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibeon and they besieged Tirzah. Verse 18. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and die. What happened to this man? He committed suicide. He killed himself. Have no answer. Now, what was his real failure? Why a person will kill themselves? Verse 19, you have the answer. Because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the ways of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel to sin. Looks like Jeroboam was a big daddy, a big granddad. And whatever he did was passed on to his son, to grandson, great-grandson. He keep on going. And this man had no way to go, and so he killed himself. See, when you look down, there is only one solution. You kill yourself thinking that it's going to improve. But friend, you need to look up. When you look down, there is no solution. I agree with this king. If you're going to look down for a solution, I want to tell you, there is no solution. The heart of man is deceitful, said Jeremiah, and extremely wicked. Who will know it, said Jeremiah. And so the solution is not in a man. Do you see what I see? Now, what's the solution? Hear this, our scripture this morning, Romans chapter 12. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. And verse 2. Here is the solution for mankind, every country of the world, not only America. Here's the solution. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Be not conformed, that's the outside of you. Be transformed, that's the inside of you. Nothing is going to happen unless God changed your nature. How come all of these kings were bad? Move your Bible to Mark 7 and verse 21. Mark 7 verse 21, Jesus tell us why mankind does what mankind is doing today. Look at Mark 7 21. Look at what the scripture says. And Jesus explained it better than a psychologist. He said, for from within, out of the heart of man, that's your soul, that's what you are made of. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, death, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Out of the evilness of our heart. It is not the environment, my brother. It is not the government that is in Washington, D.C. or in Rome for Italy. No, it's you and your heart. It's the heart of man who do this. Some people said to me, look at the chief executive officers of big companies took a lot of money. Why? Because of the evilness of the heart. Evilness of the heart. If you change that man to another man, they will do the same. We saw it here. They all follow the same. Greed. But that's in the heart of man. From within. You don't change it by changing the man or changing the political party. You have to change the man. Look at with me in 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5 and verse 17. Look at what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Many of you know this by memory because it's a beautiful scripture that reveals to you the power of God. Therefore, said the scripture, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's not that you have a new face and a better looking. No, no, no. He's talking about a new soul. A new soul. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new computer in your head. A new hard drive. You have hard drive A and B. Use A, please. Don't use B. B is the old one. Use A. I have a big, giant computer where I record things, and I have four hard drives. And if you use the wrong hard drive, you end up in the wrong place. Use hard drive A, the new, brand new hard drive that God puts you in your head. Ezekiel said that he will give us a new heart, remove the stone heart, and give us a fleshly heart so that we may obey God. And that's exactly what is needed. The change that is needed is not in government, is not in the political party. The change that is needed is in the heart. How can these things be possible? How can you talk to a man and change a heart? No, I can't do it. I cannot do it. But God can, and he gave us the tools. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. There is a revelation there from Peter for pastors and evangelists and for teachers. A great revelation. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again. That's what the new nature means. Having been born again. Not of corruptible seed. Not of political stuff. Not of scientific stuff. Have you read the paper? A man in Berkeley. And in the laboratory there in Livermore. They almost faint. They look in the sky. With our super telescope in the orbit, and they see a powder, and they see an object and another object. One is brilliant and powerful, and the other holds gravity to this object, 800 light years away from us. Holds gravity. And the man said, I was looking for this for 20 years, and flip over the chair. The science. He said, we have found another planetary system. Has nothing to do with the sun. It is in the center, way that we cannot see it today. And they put two giants, one in Hawaii, is one of the largest in the world, and the other on the sky. And they see this consistent gravity coming from this object to this central power, like we go in gravity against the sun. And he said, this is marvelous. This is impossible to believe. In other words, people, the book of Job talks about 20 planetary systems. Book of Job. I remember when I was in university, I said, well, how do we solve this problem? Oh, he said, that is the stories. Of course, 50 years ago. But not now. They're finding out. The Bible says in Isaiah, the earth is round. And people laugh about it until Columbus proved it. What are you going to wait? To die? To prove it? Having been born again, no corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. My friend, if you want to find God and if you want to have changes in your life, you need to go through the word of God. You need to go to the word of God, start in Genesis and read it through 20 times, 100 times, and you will find God right here in the Bible. How do I know I want to find God? What we mean to the New Testament, Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. You're not too far. You're in Peter. You're not too far from Titus. Keep on the right and you find it. Excuse me, on the left. And Titus tell us how you can find that life from God that will change you. Titus said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. What God does is regenerate your life. He doesn't improve your life. He doesn't fix your life. He regenerates your life. You cannot use anything of the old life to get into heaven. Nothing. You're a medical doctor. You're an engineer. You're a garbage collector. You are a contractor. Whatever you are, has nothing to do with the kingdom of God to change your heart. Has to be the word of God. And I want to show you in a very simple formula today. Turn with me to John Gospel chapter 1. Very simple. You know, I like mathematics, so here's an equation for you. Here it is. In John chapter 1, Jesus speaking. And he gave a testimony of what happened with Israel. He said in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. He said, I talked to the Jewish people 33 years. For 3.5 years, he preached to them. He showed them resurrection power. Remember Lazarus? He showed them all kinds of things. They don't believe him. Now, what's the solution then? Is Jesus failed? No, sir. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Here's the question. You need to receive the word of God. Receive plus believe equals become. That's the equation. That's the equation. Receive plus believe equals become. You see it? There's not even an algebra equation. It's the equation of one grade, we call it. As many are receiving. What that mean? I give you a Bible, and I do this daily in McDonald's or in O. Henry. I give Bibles away, and be like it's a dynamite or something. One man says, hey, I thought, Leo can tell you. Leo said, read it. Leo speaks like a Mexican, you know. Leo, read it. He's trying to enforce them, but you cannot enforce people. God can. God can. Is this in Spanish? Yes. No, I don't know Spanish. All right, go to the car, get an English Bible. I carry 3 or 4 languages. Here it is. Speak Italian? I get it. Parlare de God. Right? See, I happen to know the language. And they're afraid, but you have to receive the word of God. Imagine taking a class in mathematics. You know, I don't want books from mathematics. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to read novels. Well, you're never going to learn mathematics. If you're going to learn about God, you need to read this book and receive this word. This is the word of God. This is not baloney. This is not, people say, oh, somebody wrote that. I said, tell me who. Well, somebody. Well, tell me who. You cannot say somebody wrote that and you don't know the author. You have to make a statement with property. Tell me who wrote the book. He said, oh, I don't know. Well, then how you say who? I know who wrote it. Or second, remember 2 Timothy 3:16? All word of God is the breath of God. I know who wrote it. 1 Peter chapter 1 said, 2 Peter chapter 1 said that men of God were inspired to write. Jeremiah was inspired to God. The word of God that came to Jeremiah. You need to receive these. You don't read the Bible like a novel. You read the Bible, this is the word of God. Now when you do that, comes the last part of the verse who says, to those who believe, comes believe. If you read this, you can read the Bible and say, oh, I don't know about this, or I don't know about the other. You keep on reading and the Bible explains it. How long? Yes, read it. You have to see in my vacation, I take the Bible right, put it on the table on the swimming pool. I swim, I read the Bible. And people pass by and they do like this. They're all Americans. I go to a Mexico resort, but it's all Americans. And then they read and they look at from outside. I say, sir, it's the Bible. How are you? You know, it's just amazing. Somebody made a statement in the pool. I said, there were a lot of people from Alaska. I don't blame them. So-called coming to Mexico in Puerto Vallarta. And I said, well, I have a question for all of you in the swimming pool. One lady said, I know this, you're a pastor. I'm talking to people, raising my hands. And I said, how is that your governor as a governor? Oh, it's very good, this. And one man said, I hate it. I said, well, tell me why. Because she believes in God. But you see, then you find out right in the ground from the mouth of the horse what they say. And I said, well, I'm very sorry. What about you? Do you believe in God? Well, I told you! He was so mad. And you have to keep the cool. 3 days later, he said, what can I pay for you? Because, you know, they think, I pay you a drink. He said, I was very bad. He said, who told you you were very bad? See, I make it worse. You know? See, only when we read God's word, we know if we are good or bad. You cannot tell me, this is you, this is you. You are violent. I feel sorry for your wife. I said, how long are you married? He said, 40 years. Oh, boy, what a life. You know, he said, well, you know, I had to deal with my temper. Right here. You deal with your heart. The formula is simple. Receive, believe. And what the Bible said, to become the children of God. God makes you a child of God. Once you receive the word of God and you read it, there will be a moment that you will believe. People believe in different books of the Bible and different statements. God used anything in his word to lead people to the Lord. And then after they believe, you become a child of God. You do not become a child of God by being a member of Bethel Baptist Church. No, sir. You become a child of God by receiving his word, the purity of his word, and believing in his word that Jesus died for my sins. I'm a sinner. And now I'm cured before heaven because of what he has done. Then you are a child of God. Forever. How long you're a child of your father? Forever. There is no separation. You can be a bad child, a good child, whatever, but you're a child. You're a child of God. And this morning in Sunday school, we study the prayer. And I enjoy the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, teaching in Spanish in Sunday school. How you start your prayer? Our Heavenly Father. Only a believer can do that. You know that? And when you say our Heavenly Father, that implies that you are a son or a daughter. May God bless you. Don't leave this place today without believing. Receiving and believing. The rest will be history. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the lesson of the Old Testament. There were changes in political arena, but there was no improvement. And the reason is the heart of man. So, Father, thank you that you change our heart. We understand people. We understand what they think and how they look on it. We were there, Lord. We were just like them. We're not special. We are sinners saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray for those people that are going to take decisions who are evil, that you change their heart, that they may look into your word and then find that the only way to change your life is not by drugs or medicine or this. It is by believing in Jesus who changed our stone heart into a living heart. Thank you for the beauty of Jesus. In his name we thank you. Amen.
Happy end. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love,
so much. And we're going to close the service in prayer. Members of the Tel Baptist Church, there is a service to follow for the members to close the annual budget and all the details of the church, so you may return here very soon. The chairman will direct the service. In the meantime, I ask you to stand as we pray for the benediction. Father, we close the whole study today on changes without improvement with this beautiful song, "People Needs the Lord." Yes, Lord. There was no better song than this one for today. I need the Lord. Our congregation need the Lord. Our visitors need the Lord. Those who listen over the internet need the Lord. There's not going to be change in our life till You change our heart. So Lord, work on us. Make us to think. Help us to receive Your word and then cause us to believe. And we will be glad that we did it. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.